We ask that you be with us, that you encourage us, that you strengthen us. Pray that you would be with those who are out of town and traveling today and tomorrow, Father, that you'd watch over them and bring them back safely. I pray, Father, that the words that would come from my mouth would be directly from the throne of God, and that those that are of you would pierce our hearts, and if they're not of you, that they would fall on the floor before us. And we say, and the church said, amen, amen. Acceptable sins. Conclusion, and we'll talk a little bit about worldliness. John Piper asked this question, what is sin? And he came up with this, and I think it's very, very good. It was worth reading. It is the glory of God not honored, the holiness of God not reverenced, the greatness of God not admired, the power of God not praised, the truth of God not sought, the wisdom of God not esteemed, the beauty of God not treasured, the goodness of God not savored, the faithfulness of God not trusted, the commandments of God not obeyed, the justice of God not respected, the wrath of God not feared, the grace of God not cherished, and the presence of God not prized, and the person of God not loved. That is sin. And I think it's really, really true. Did I have that up there? No, okay. I didn't think I did. That is really, really true. Our God is an amazing God. And I just thank him that I have had the pleasure of walking with him now almost 44 years. Back in October 73 or so. So, it goes all the way back to Adam and Eve when they broke relationship with God. And all the sins that occur each day, that we have each day, they are the result of that broken relationship that started with Adam and Eve. Now, we can't just sit here and, as we've talked about, and go, ah, it's all Adam and Eve's fault, because the truth of the matter is, if we were there, we would have done the same stupid thing. Okay? Sad thing is, today I have no quotes by Marilyn Monroe, like I did a few weeks ago. But, you know, what can I say? But sin is out there, including the ones that we've talked about, having other gods before us and walking in ungodliness, impatience, irritability, judgmental, being judgmental, anger, bitterness, grudges, gossip, slander, critical speech, unthankfulness, selfishness, pride, and arrogance, all of which are not really acceptable sins. Now, for those that this may be hearing this for the first time, acceptable is in quotes. We don't think any sin is acceptable, obviously. Because the reason we don't is all sin brings us shame. Think about, for those of you who had a child, or are all of you were a child at one point in time, when you were corrected, or when you corrected your child for some fault, at least before their hearts were jaded, what would happen? Their head would bow in shame, and they wouldn't want to look at you. And what would happen to your heart? It would be grieved, and you would be disappointed in their sin, in their error. So that's why we need confession. That's why we need repentance, so we can resolve those things, so we can walk out of shame, so we can address the Father's grieving heart, so we can come to the place where God is no longer disappointed in our sin. Remember, we are never, relationship with him is never broken. Are there other acceptable sins? Yeah, I'd briefly look at a few. There's frustration with whatever or whomever may be blocking whatever plans you may have or what you want to do in life because things didn't go like you wanted them to do. And so you get frustrated. Or because someone just got to you and frustrated you. Now, I understand there can be some godly anger, as we talked about, and there could be some godly frustration and so forth, but some of it is not. But we need to understand that it will always help us to remember that, or it's good to remember, that God has ordained our lives and he is there in it in every situation, every step of the way. He never turns his back upon us. He's always right there walking with us, even if we don't sense it. He's there. It's the truth. And we can believe that by faith, and we're going to get into faith more later. And he's always there no matter whatever the day looks like or what is going on in that day. He was there. I like to think about how he was there and he proved it to me, even when I was in the darkest parts of my life in San Francisco and in Berkeley and so forth, being a child of the 60s. That's what it says in Psalm 139, verse 16, reading out of New Living Translation. You saw me before I was born. Come on up, Isaiah. You want to preach? You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every day of your life living now, it was already recorded. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Another one is discontentment. We can be discontented in so many different ways. We can be discontented with our job. We can be discontented with our friends. We can be discontented with our marriage, with poor health, with being single, just life in general. Yet what is God's response to it? 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice always. Let's see, what's that mean? On occasion? No, it means at all times. In all occasions, forever. That's what the Greek word means, forever. Always. We need to walk in an attitude of rejoicing always. And we can do that by God's grace. We can do that by faith. We can do that because He is with us always. We can do that in all circumstances. We can be thankful in all circumstances, not necessarily thankful for all circumstances, but we can be thankful in all circumstances, even in the darkest of valleys, because He will be with us, as it says in Psalm 23:4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. A third one is a lack of self-control. Proverbs 25:28 says this, a man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. See, the truth of the matter is, without self-control, we will probably make many wrong choices. And that word self-control really means we have no boundaries, that we have not disciplined, and that our mind is not sound. But praise God, He gave us sound self-control, as it says in 2 Timothy 1:7. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And there are many other sins, but we're not going to go into them. But you could start in the list of Galatians. And some of these we discuss in Galatians 5:19-21. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. The truth is, what he's talking is about a people. Sinners now. That's who they were. But it's refreshing to understand that if we are in Christ, we are no longer sinners now. Yeah, we may do some of these things from time to time. Let's see, I want to check something out. No perfect people here. But we may do the sinner's verb. We may actually do some of these things, the things we talked about before, the things Piper was talking about, whatever. But we can confess our sins. See, remember three things. If we are in Christ, relationship with Him is never broken, with the one exception if we deny Him. Okay? The second thing, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1. I love that verse. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And old Slewfoot, who our friend Terry was talking about earlier, he will try to condemn you. He will try to deceive you. He will try to lie to you. He will try to do everything he can. But there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And even in the midst of horrible things, God uses all things together for good for those of his own. Romans 8:28. You want a good definition of grace? Romans 8:28 is a great definition of grace. So what do we do with all of this? What do we do with all of these things that we've been talking about? What do we do with the sin or the this or that or whatever? Where do we go from here? Simple. Ask God to show you when you sin. He'll tell you. The voice that Terry was talking about, He'll speak to you. And run the race that He's set before you. Philippians 2:16. Don't purposely sin. Romans 6:1. Shall I sin all the more that grace may abound? I like Romans 6:2. I won't give you my version of it, but it's a pretty strong no. I'll just say, heck no. How's that? Walk out who you are, who you really are, citizens of the kingdom of God. That's who we really are. We're really not a citizen of this world. Yeah, we live here. We dwell here. God has placed us here. Yes, there's authorities over us, Romans 13. That's all the further you have to look to figure that out. And it says it pretty clearly that he appoints them and that we are to obey them. We're to follow the laws and the statutes. We're to be the best employee, the best employer, the best spouse, the best parent, the best child, the best friend, the best whatever that we can be. Whatever it is that God, wherever it is God has placed us, whatever God has called us to be, we are to be the best that we can be in that. And we can do that by God's grace, and we can do that because Holy Spirit lives within us. And in everything we do it unto Christ. But don't walk in worldliness. Oh, it's so tempting. I've been there, done that. Most of you have been there, done that. All of you have been there, done that. It's a dead-end street. I found that out on the streets of San Francisco. Okay? Found it out on the bluffs of Oakland. Don't love this world. 1 John 2:15 to 17 says this. Again, reading a New Living Translation. Do not love this world. Let's see. What's the interpretation of that? Oh, do not love this world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. And this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. Who here has ever had a craving only to find out that that craving doesn't really, when you try to fulfill that craving, it really doesn't satisfy? I did that. This three verses is really a rather stern warning. Do not love this world. Sometimes I ask questions, you know that, and I go, well, God, why did you put me in it? There's so many temptations here. Old Slewfoot's out there tempting me, accusing me, trying to deceive me, trying to just get me to do all kinds of things, tempt me. But that's not to love the world. Are the things of the world. We're not to crave the things of this world. And that's hard. I think most of us here have craved things that just haven't been good for us. And maybe some of you have even participated in them like I have. It's just not good. See, this word love that talks about do not love the world, the Greek word is agapao, okay? And it means, it indicates a direction of the will and finding one's joy in something or someone. We are not to set our will upon the things of the world or to find our joy there. That's what it's saying. We're to make a choice. For sure, we have free will. It's another question I have for God. Why did you do that? Do you realize how much I wouldn't have sinned if you wouldn't have given me a free will, if you had just made me a robot? Probably wouldn't have been as much fun. And it wouldn't have been perfect because his ways are perfect. Yes, there's many things that are blessings. God has given many of us blessings. All of us look like we're eating. All of us look like we have clothing. All of us, as far as I know, have shelter over our heads. But what John is talking about here is being attached to something in an ungodly way, which we can do. We all can do that. Remember, there's no condemnation. It's just dealing with reality so that we can draw closer and closer to our Lord. Having intimate fellowship with someone or something you shouldn't have it with. Being loyally devoted beyond what is healthy. And sometimes that can even happen within the church and does happen within the church. See, this kind of love must be only reserved for God. Matthew 22:37. Familiar verse. And he said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Again, that word love is agapao, the same Greek word for love, and it's saying, choose to love God. Choose to find your joy in God above everything else. One of the advantages I have of being 71 years old is I've tried to find joy in a lot of things. And I've seen how it fails. It just fails. It really does. But my joy in God has never failed me. It just hasn't. All I have to do is stop and start thinking about my Father God, and a smile comes across my face. Because it just fills my heart with joy. Even in those moments where I might go, God, where are you? Or why this or why that? But if I just sit there and I go, why? Or why did? And I hear him say, I love you. And bring such joy. We are to choose to love God above everyone and above everything. To find our joy in God. What's it say in Nehemiah 8:10? The joy of the Lord is our strength. And as it says at the end of that verse, the world is fading away. God never will. See, that's what it said in going back to 1 John 2:17. And this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. And just so we understand it, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7:31, New Living Translation, those who use the things of this world should not become attached to them. For this world, we know it will soon pass away. Now, personally, I think God has a different definition of soon than I do. But I'm glad it's taken this long because I got to be born so I can be eternal with him. But he's coming back. And all you have to do is look around the world and see it is fading away. It's fading away into evil. Evil is growing. Yes, God has given us many things to use as to us as blessings, to be used to build the kingdom of God. But we must never, ever, ever, ever have the same love, the same devotion, the same intimate fellowship with those things, with those peoples as we do with God. Back to having no other gods before us, people, possessions, money, activities. It's so difficult at times as we walk through life not to put other things before God. The world, though, can never be in first place. In fact, as you look at the scriptures, and I'm not going to go into them because I don't want to go that long, there really is a strong parallel between the things of this world and the devil. There really is. And Terry touched on some of them earlier. Again, it's okay to use the things of this world that God has blessed us with. Don't walk out of here saying, oh, I got to go sell my house, or I got to go do this, or I got to do that, I got to quit my job, I got to. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is if they're above God, you may need to deal with it. We must always set our minds on the things of heaven. Colossians 3:2-3, again in the NLT. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth, for you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. When we were born again unto God, and we died to this life. Yeah, we're still here. Yeah, we're still doing it. But we're here to build the kingdom of God. And then instead of focusing on this world, we are, admonished to ponder upon and to yearn for the things of God. I've said this before. I'll say it now. And I'll say it again. There is no one that is more blessed than people who are in Christ. It's just the facts. It's just, you can take that to the bank. That's just the truth. There's a lot of people out there who will tell you differently. You know, had a people, I was listening to T.D. Jakes. I was looking at him on YouTube, and he was with, Steve Harvey. Poor Steve Harvey. He asked T.D. Jakes one question. 25 minutes later, seriously, on his show, 25 minutes later. But I lost what T.J. Jakes said. Lord, remind me. I can't remember. I guess God didn't want me. I'll blame it on God. But we've been called and equipped. You know, we're all sons and daughters of the Most High God. You know? If you're in Christ, we've been called to be sons and daughters. We're called to serve the living God. We're called to walk in the glory of service to our amazing Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. We're called to draw people in. Oh, that's what it was. We're here to represent the kingdom of God, to build the kingdom of God. And it's like T.G. Jakes was saying, he just looks at everybody as a person that needs to come into the kingdom. And he looks at the people that are in the kingdom, and this is really good. I like this illustration. He says some of them are 50 yards away from the total truth. Some of them are 500 yards. He says, but we're all haven't reached it yet. So don't say I'm more spiritual because I'm only 50 yards away from the truth, where you're 500 yards away from the truth. The truth of the matter is we're all walking the process out. But we're here to walk in the glory of the service and to seek our amazing Lord and Savior, to serve each other. But not only that, to reach out and to bless and to serve those that are not yet his people, using the many blessings he's bestowed upon us. That's what he's given us these things for, to thank him for the blessings and the opportunities he uses, for his glory and according to his guidance and commands. Remember, everything we have, whatever's in your bank account, whatever's in your house, whatever possessions you have, is a gift from God. He's given it to you. And he's entered us, entrusted us with them, to bless us with them, because he is a God of blessing. But he's also entrusted them to us to use them to build the kingdom of God, to be used for his glory. Our homes, our cars, our possessions, our money, our very lives. See, we must hold everything loosely. If he says to sell it, to do something else with it, we need to sell it. You know, you're probably getting tired of hearing about it, but it's such apropos. My motorcycle has opened up doors, and I've noticed as I've gone from a Honda to a Harley, it's opening up other doors. Because there were some Harley folks out there that just kind of lifted their nose toward us Honda folks. And now, as one of my friends said, I have a big boy bike. Another one of my friends said, I went to the dark side. But even as recently as this last Wednesday at the lake, I needed a pair of boots. And so a friend of mine, Pat McCormick, a lot of you know him, rode down to Leatherman. If you don't know what the Leatherman is, it's because you don't ride a bike. And if you don't ride a bike, you're not allowed there. No, I'm just kidding. It's got a lot of leather goods in it. So it's got coats and all kinds of stuff in there. But it's got a lot of motorcycle gear. And while we were there, there was a guy that was getting some patches put on his vest. And he was going to surprise his wife with a vest for her own and was having some stuff put on. And we were joking around because I was looking at what he was putting on the back of one and what he was putting back in the other. And I went, I think I can tell which is your wife's vest. But it had flowers and stuff on it, you know. Biker dudes don't wear flowers. But we got to talking. And the light was shined. You know, because we had bikes. So it opens up. So the stuff that God has blessed you with will open up things and so forth. See, all we have will strengthen us and provide us opportunities for ministry. This is what separates us from the world. That makes us not of this world because we are of his kingdom. John 18:36, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from this world. We're not of this world. That's people. What can people do to us? They can't do anything. They can kill us, so what? Then we go be with our Father. Yes, might ask the question, what makes us different from our non-believing neighbors and coworkers? Other than they're not focused on heaven and I hope focused on God. That's just not where they live. But I realize that we do much the same thing. We cut grass. You know? We try to be the best employees we can be. We hopefully, I can say this for all of us, we all pay our taxes. I don't want IRS to walk in here some morning and carry you out. We do a good job of staying out of scandals. We're friendly to our neighbors. And a lot of what we look like looks like what our unbelieving neighbors do, okay? The problem with that is it can make worldliness look a little more acceptable than it really is. We have to be careful not to step into that trap. It's a satanic deception. I like how Jerry Bridges puts it to help us understand what I'm saying. Worldliness means accepting the values, mores, and practices of the nice but unbelieving society around us without discerning whether or not those values, mores, and practices are biblical. It is going along with the culture around us as long as that culture is not obviously sinful. Satan comes as an angel of light. I didn't write it. So, what's that tell us? We have to be in communication with our God. We have to be walking in prayer, worship, attending church, fellowship, reading the Word, fasting, meditation, so that we can have our spirit constantly tuned and in tune with Holy Spirit who resides within us so we can see the deceptions. Because they're out there. I mean, we know they're out there. What's it say in Matthew 7? So when one person standing there says, I cast out demons in your name. I healed the sick in your name. And what was the Lord's response? Go away. Never knew you. Seeking first the kingdom of heaven rather than worldliness. That's what we're called to do. And just as Jesus instructed, I want to read here about 15 verses out of Luke 12. And he said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? Oh, so much more you are value than the birds. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them, and he will take care of it. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock. I love this verse. You've heard me quote it many times. Fear not, little flock. That'd be us, for those in Christ. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions. Give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heaven that does not fall, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Again, it's not bad to have stuff. It's not bad to have stuff. Just don't be like the guy in the Bible who is storing it up in the storehouse, who the Lord came to and said, this day is your last. Use it wisely. Hold it loosely. Use it to build a kingdom. I know when Chris and I bought our house, we were like, I don't know, do we really need that big of a house? And we felt the Lord was in it. And part of the reason we felt the Lord was in it is because we knew that people would stay with us. And we've had several people stay with us for up to 3 or 4 months at a time. Okay? Everything is to build the kingdom. It's all a gift from him. So don't get possessive. Don't use it selfishly. Instead, use it as God directs for things that are not of this world and build the kingdom. Yeah, it takes faith, and we're going to get there. We may have to learn first how not to walk in fear. You know, kind of a, do we walk in fear or do we walk in faith? But as we do walk in faith and not fear, if the worship team wants to come back up. But as we do walk in faith and not fear, our Father takes great pleasure in blessing us. What natural father here or mother here didn't enjoy blessing their kids? With just, I mean, I think I could ask every parent here, whoever bought something for your kids that they really didn't need. I think every parent here, I know every parent here would raise their hand. Foolish things. Okay? And yeah, the stuff you need. And you took pleasure in doing it. You didn't do it because you had to. But let's hold it loosely. Let's use it to build the kingdom of God. Let's use it to help those that might need to be helped. Because that's what God gave it to us for. Yes, to bless us, but not to celebrate worldliness, not to live in the world. Because we're always, always, always to be about seeking God and building his kingdom. That's our goal here. That's our goal here. That's why we're so much into relationships, because we want to get to know to each other, to speak into each other's lives, to encourage, to build up, to edify, to exhort. Amen. Let's stand and worship the living God. Does this belong to anybody? Oh, is it Kenan?